very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
So many Americans, unfortunately, cling to the programmed lie of delusion that, quote, our government would never do anything to hurt us. The reality is this. From weather warfare to fluoridated water to highly toxic vaccines, the power structure's war against populations is far beyond rational denial. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the GeoengineeringWatch.org Global Alert News Hour for October 28, 2017. This is a commercial-free program brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org. It's broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast on the PRN Radio Network, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the news you need to know if you care about the future and truly want to make a difference for the better while we can. Quick announcements, and I'll get on to lots of headlines to cover, too many to cover in this broadcast, but I'll try. Orchard Nutrition in Reading, again, if you want free information and materials on the most critical issues we face, they are available at Orchard if you promise to share them. That's all we ask. Jim Fair, staunch ally of the fight to expose and stop geoengineering. That's G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Look it up. At the Jim Fair homepage, you can see where their next events are, where there's a fully stocked geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth with free materials. It will be next week in November 3rd through the 5th at the Lane County Events Center in Eugene, Oregon. Following weekend, November 10th through the 12th at Puyallup, Washington. Again, if you're in those areas, show your support for the Jim Fair organization and get free materials that you can share with others to wake them up to the most dire and immediate threat we face, mathematically speaking, which is the ongoing climate engineering, weather warfare, biological warfare, insanity that's taking place in our skies. Why is it biological warfare? Because the elements used in climate engineering operations are highly toxic. They're raining down through the breathable air column where we all get to absorb them with every breath we take. We're in a dark place because of order followers. Those in power couldn't wreak havoc around the world without legions of order followers. This includes the U.S. military, which have unfortunately long since become nothing more than a mercenary force that carries out the bidding of the fascist criminal cabal that's masquerading as our government. Always to state this caveat, this is not to say that other governments are not corrupt. Of course they're corrupt. But who's in whose backyard all over the world? Who's invading whose country all over the world? Who is causing conflict and leaving decimation in their path all over the world? We've decimated the Middle East exactly as Wesley Clark said he was told we would do immediately after 9/11, the false flag that was the license for decimating the Middle East. So again, I state clearly, for all our military brothers and sisters, you are behaving as nothing more than paid mercenaries for the criminal corporate cabals that now run our government. Please look in the mirror and remember the oath you took to protect our country from all threats, foreign and domestic. Look in the mirror. Trump blocks full release of JFK assassination records after last-minute CIA push. If you don't see the whole JFK records drama for what it is, a manufactured theater, you're not paying attention. Our government and Mr. Trump never intended to release any records that would expose the truth about the shadow government and the CIA assassination of John F. Kennedy. It's all theater to distract the masses from all the converging catastrophes that are closing in on us, all of us. It's happening by the day. Total theater. How many recent mass disasters do we hear nothing about now? One story of distraction after another after another. Why are so few willing or able to see the reality that's unfolding before us? Fluoride in our water, toxic heavy metals, we're all inhaling from the climate engineering fallout, as I just mentioned, the constant sensory conditioning, and the neurotoxins that are being injected into our bodies in the form of vaccinations. All are certainly not helping our ability to think clearly or act reasonably. On that note, need to read this. Here's a headline to consider deeply. It's from a medical doctor that has not abandoned his honor or sense of morality. An extremely rare individual in today's medical industrial complex of unbridled greed and criminality. Here's the headline. Medical doctor, blood of every vaccine injured or killed child on the hands of murder by vaccine pediatricians. Listen closely. By Dr. James C. Meehan, MD. To all the pediatricians still trolling my page, now that I've got your attention, listen closely, heed my words. You should be fighting like hell for the safety of our children from even the most remote possibility that vaccines aren't as safe as they could be or aren't as safe as we are being told. Instead of fighting for truth and safety, you're fighting like rats for your piece of the cheese. I have zero respect, in huge capital letters, he states. This is a medical doctor again, Dr. James C. Meehan, a courageous doctor, which there are so few of. I have zero respect for vaccine profiteers that are so financially biased, confirmation biased, indoctrinated, and willfully ignorant of the evidence that clearly shows vaccines cause injury, disease, and regressive autism, that they aggressively lobby lawmakers. Speaking of the capitalist physicians, they aggressively lobby lawmakers to make vaccines mandatory and deny parents the essential knowledge about the risks of toxic ingredients injected into their babies. Bought by Big Pharma, the caretakers of children's health have become the perpetrators of harm rather than the protectors. They profit as our precious, perfect children are harmed and killed by vaccines filled with cheap preservatives, neurotoxic adjuvants, and harmful cellular material derived from aborted fetal cell lines. They're completely, the pediatricians, accomplices in the murder by vaccine crimes that have made American infants, listen to this, the most vaccinated and the most likely to die in the first year of life. America's infant mortality rate, the highest rate in all developed nations, is a national tragedy. The epidemic of autism, autoimmune diseases, asthma, allergies, ADD, and pediatric cancers is far worse still. The evidence is everywhere. Dr. Meehan continues with this. The epidemic of autism is rising exponentially. Today, 1 in 48 children in America suffer from autism. Actually, the latest statistics are far worse still. He continues with this. At the present rate of increase, by 2032, 1 in 2 children and 80% of all boys could be autistic. 80% on the current rate. We can't afford to sacrifice our children and the future of our nation to the ignorance and greed of pediatricians and their big pharmaceutical vaccine manufacturer masters demanding parents submit our children to an intolerably dangerous, untested, and unnecessary vaccine schedule of 72 plus injections and rising. There are over 200 vaccines in the pipeline now, new vaccines. Every pediatrician, family practitioner, or vaccine profiteer that isn't rising up against the corruption of the science of vaccines perpetrated by the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, is betraying their oath to, quote, first do no harm. They are on the wrong side of history. Too many have given up objective reasoning and have simply become sales representatives for the vaccine manufacturers that have so easily bought and conditioned them to believe their lies. The blood of every vaccine-injured child is on the hands of every pediatrician that parroted lies like, quote, vaccines do not cause autism, a lie, and, quote, the science is settled, another lie. The science isn't settled, it's corrupt. Meehan continues, the vaccine industry will soon face the backlash as doctors, scientists, and parents across America become aware of your crimes. Rise up to oppose your lies and hold you accountable for the vaccine injury holocaust you've caused. The fraudulent deceit is coming to an end. We won't allow it to continue. For me, Dr. Meehan, speaking still, uncovering the many layers of fraud and corruption that have allowed vaccines to harm so many children is analogous to walking into an exam room in which a child is being abused by a doctor. I'm not about to look the other way and allow the abuse to continue. A man of real courage, how few in the medical industrial community that only at this point are concerned about their paychecks and pensions, no matter what harm they cause. Last sentence is from Meehan. I would call the police, however, in my analogy, the police are the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, and they are participating and enabling the abuse. Regardless, I won't ignore the abuse and allow it to continue. I'm going to stop the abusers from harming the child, and I won't be gentle about it. That's how I see the travesty from the corruption of vaccines that is harming the children of America today. The facts are inarguably obvious. I'm angry about how so many of my medical colleagues refuse to open the door, expose the abuse, and to stop it. In closing, I beseech my colleagues to open your eyes, minds, and examine the evidence that for too long you've negligently denied. Confront the reality that you've been duped, controlled, and indoctrinated. Free yourselves from the indoctrination. Stand with me. Demand scientific transparency, integrity, and reform of the vaccine industry profiteers. Join me in this fight to protect children and get yourselves on the right side of history. Together, we must, in large letters, stop the abuse. Signed, Dr. Jim Meehan, MD. Here's a criminal quote from the Medical Industrial Complex website, Neurology Now. This quote comes from a recent article about autism. The article, of course, never says a word about the proven autism vaccination connection, but it does say this. Consider this is the medical industrial complex that we're dealing with. Here's the quote. Experts caution parents against following fads or spending extra time, effort, and money on unproven interventions such as nutritional supplements, gluten-free diets, avoiding vaccines. Listen to that one, avoiding vaccines, proven harmful, and using chelation to remove heavy metals. Evidence doesn't support these interventions, and concerns about health and safety are significant. Consider this. From the website Neurology Now, feeding us a pack of lies that nutritional supplements are harmful, but vaccinations are good. We live in an Orwellian nightmare. It's up to us to wake up from that nightmare. It's up to us. My sincere regard to Dr. Jim Meehan. Look him up. Thank him for his courage. Stand by him. If only we had more like that in the medical industrial complex. We have a pack of cowards that are refusing to tell the truth. That's why we're in such a dark corner. That's why so many of our children are already irreparably damaged. We're at 1 in 25 for autism with boys now. 1 in 25. That's a 40,000% increase from 1975, the highest rates in the world. Do we think something's wrong yet? If you're a parent and you're listening to this, what's wrong? Why are you turning away from the truth? If you're vaccinating your children still, why are you turning away from the truth? Why do you refuse to investigate? And I'm not asking anyone to believe me or Dr. Meehan. I'm asking you to examine the facts, not the fabricated facts from official agencies that lie about everything, but actual peer-reviewed science facts from independent sources that prove vaccinations are harming our children. And I'm asking you to use your sense of reason. How many stories, countless stories, of parents whose child was immediately dysfunctional after they got a vaccination? How can you not connect those dots? How can you possibly not connect those dots? Here's a specific example of the criminal behavior from academia regarding the climate engineering issue. Remember this name, Paul Roscher, R-U-S-C-H-E-R. Paul Roscher, he's the science department director from Lane University in Eugene, Oregon. Mr. Roscher, as I just spelled again, R-U-C-H-E-R, is so determined to try to help the power structure hide the climate engineering atrocities, just like how many physicians are hiding the vaccination atrocities, that Mr. Roscher spends his personal time trying to convince anyone and everyone that will listen that, quote, chemtrails are not real. Of course, Mr. Paul Roscher from Lane University in Oregon does not use the science terms of geoengineering, climate engineering, and solar radiation management. That's why it's so important we use those terms. That because he knows, Mr. Roscher knows, if he used those terms, it would bring credibility to the issue, and that's not what Mr. Roscher wants. Last week, I publicly invited Mr. Roscher to debate the climate engineering reality on a major radio broadcast, the Jeff Rintz program. But Mr. Roscher, like so many others who I have accepted offers from to debate, which they never then followed through with, he refused this debate. So many others in the same category. No one is willing to debate the facts on air on national radio shows, and a number of them have tried with people like Mr. Roscher to simply ask him to share his facts if he's so confident of them in a live broadcast. Won't do it. They won't do it. Mr. Roscher refused the offer. Look up Mr. Roscher online. Lane University, Eugene, Oregon, Climate Department Science Director, Science Department Director. Let him know what you think of his efforts to hide the climate engineering assault. So how is the weather? Climate catastrophes are accelerating all over the globe. Our mainstream media is covering almost none of the disasters. extreme weather whiplash will get worse fast. And we see this in the U.S. very profoundly. East Coast fries, then cold. West Coast, quick cool down, back to frying. Back and forth, and you have to see the weather maps to actually believe them. They show a split down the middle of the country often, bright red on one side, bright blue on the other, then it flips to the exact opposite scenario. This is not nature. This is geoengineering. If you want a deeper understanding of the weather whiplash scenarios, search geoengineeringwatch.org, weather whiplash. You'll find a number of articles on that subject that explain very clearly and factually how climate engineering is ripping the climate system apart. There can be no legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost, and no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without including chemical ice nucleation for weather modification, how they use abundant moisture to chemically nucleate and create a short-term, highly toxic surface cool down on the planet to keep everybody confused and divided as to the state of the climate. On with other headlines to elaborate on the biosphere collapse, and keep this in mind, no matter what other challenges we face, when the planet stops supporting life and we are perilously close to that point, game over. Nothing else matters. No other challenges matter. No other causes matter at that point. Consider that. Records fall across Southern California amid heat wave. Today, October 24th, this is obviously from last week, San Luis Obispo, California, in nearly November, reached 108 degrees Fahrenheit. This is the hottest temperature ever measured in the United States so late in the year. From that report, the heat wave and Santa Ana winds are being caused by large near-record strength dome of high pressure. How many times have I talked about the ionosphere heater-induced domes of high pressure that are placed over the West? A compressed air mass that creates these heat domes, magnifies them. And this is what's happening, the ridiculously resilient ridge. Report continues that dome of high pressure that settled in over the Great Basin a few hundred miles northeast of Los Angeles in locations where the wind kept up on Monday night, there was little relief from the heat. Listen to this. Overnight lows were as high as 90 degrees Fahrenheit or more. 90 degrees overnight low in nearly November. Nighttime low temperatures rising exponentially faster than daytime high temperatures. Why? Because we have greenhouse gases, not just CO2, but methane, nitrous oxide, covering the planet like a layer of glass. Heat gets in, but it doesn't get out. We have geoengineering, the attempt to block some of the daytime incoming thermal energy from the sun, but trapping nighttime heat, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, a long list of downstream consequences I can't go into here. But the bottom line is, the planet is rapidly sliding into an abrupt climate shift, a runaway scenario, with climate engineering making it worse, not better, in addition to contaminating every breath we take. Another headline from last week. In Orange County, the city of Fullerton soared to 107 degrees on Monday. Even Death Valley has never recorded a temperature this high after October 16th in any year since record keeping began. Back to the wildfires again. Final summary, 42 dead, 8,400 structures burned, more than 1 billion in damage. And that number doesn't mean anything, 1 billion. How do you put a price on the forest that just incinerated and now that forest is, for all practical purposes, in our atmosphere where it will continue to feed feedback loops that are already in a runaway mode? Everything feeds into the equation. So this type of headline with a figure on the damage means nothing, means absolutely nothing. It's exponentially worse. The devastating toll of California's wildfires. Nearly 500,000 acres have scorched California so far this year, twice as many acres as last year, which was already high. Since October, Cal Fire has battled 250 new wildfires. At the World Series, it was quite a spectacle to watch with these record high temperatures. I think the game started with a temperature of 104 officially. The actual temperature on the ground likely higher still, because we're seeing an underreporting of temperatures as the power structure tries to hide the true severity of planetary meltdown. And again, for those who think this is something about Al Gore, it has nothing to do with Al Gore, whom is a criminal and a hypocrite. We all know that. It has to do with reality. We have to get past our dichotomous black and white bias thinking. Reality is still what it is, whether or not we hate Al Gore. All the World Series sports fans that, again, couldn't care less about the fact that the planet is spiraling toward the total meltdown and subsequent planetary omnicide, couldn't care less How many people will show up for a sports game and never even take a moment to look at the fact that the planet's dying by the day? This is like ancient Rome. It's the same, only this time the consequences will be total. Again, the extreme weather whiplash continues. You can search that out on geoengineeringwatch.org. Just search geoengineeringwatch.org, weather whiplash. More headlines. Listen to this, because the weather, quote, forecasters, let's call them forecasters. They're really script readers at this point. But they create terms as they go. They name new clouds that didn't exist before, climate engineering. They just name them to give them legitimacy. So here's a headline. Great Lakes storm undergoes bombogenesis. Bombogenesis, let's remember that. Downs trees and power lines in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. From that headline, a Great Lakes storm underwent bombogenesis early Tuesday and produced damaging winds that whipped up impressively high waves in Lake Superior. Again, bombo what? Bombogenesis. And we have the same term being used for a storm that is scheduled to hit the East Coast Sunday and Monday. We'll see how far the climate engineers can take that disaster. But this term is recent. In fact, how long has this term been in existence? I couldn't find any reference earlier than 2014. And this fact is important to understand. The so-called experts that in so many cases, again, are just paid-off official liars, script readers at this point, are quite literally making it up as they go. This behavior does not only apply to the newly coined science terms that are intended to give legitimacy to the increasingly geoengineered weather whiplash scenarios, but the make-it-up-as-you-go strategy, as I already stated, also applies to naming new cloud formations that are a direct result of climate engineering. As if somehow there were a dozen and a half new forms of cloud cover that have, until recently, never before been seen, and that have now been magically produced by nature. That's a lie. Lying script readers. That's what our meteorologists are right now. Let's remember there's a federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees, but that does not excuse them lying about a factor on which our futures depend. Does not excuse that. On this theme of bombogenesis, again, we have the same term being used for the event that's going to happen tomorrow and Monday. Let's see how that plays out. And it's to see nature die is absolutely heart-wrenching. I live in the middle of the wilderness. It was a thriving wilderness only 15 years ago. Now it's a dead, dying, silent wilderness. I found a dying fox on my doorstep not long ago, and it absolutely broke my heart. Whether he starved to that point or had some other ailment, I can't say, but this is not right to find this. The bears are starving. The birds are starving. There's very few acorns. The trees, the leaves are all wadding up. In fact, we had a recent rain in California, very short rain, went from the 90s to a short rain, 30-degree temperature dropping right back to the 90s. And as we've seen in previous years, there appears to be a defoliant in a rain in the fall to cause the leaves to die on the trees and hang. And this is not speculative. These chemicals exist, and the fruit farmers have been using them for years in California because it has not been getting cold enough to force the trees into dormancy soon enough. So they use this type of defoliant to force the trees into dormancy. Are the climate engineers, and I would absolutely say yes at this point, using a mixture in the fall that tries to create the appearance of a change of season when it hasn't been nearly cold enough to cause that change? And it is not normal. It is not normal or natural for leaves to die and hang on the trees. That's not the abscission hormone in the tree dropping the leaf because it's sensed the cold and the change of season. That's something else. And we see this year after year in Northern California and elsewhere. And some trees that are in a shaded location or a sheltered location that don't get the wind can have a fully foliated crown with dead leaves hanging on the tree all winter. That's not normal or natural. Who notices that? It's all over Redding. All the time. So the leaves that were already singed from the intense UV and dying from the immense drought, record low fuel moistures, and I know people, I've heard them say, well, that can't be. We had so much rain last winter. That was 6 months ago. We've had 6 months of scorching temperatures with extremely low humidities, and the fuel moistures are the lowest ever. Keep that in mind with the fires that just incinerated Santa Rosa. And not that there wasn't arson involved or foul play. It sure looks like there absolutely was. But there were many factors in that equation. Record fuel moistures was one of them. Not normal. Weather whiplash will continue, and the climate engineers can cut the rain off to California as long as they choose. Search engineered drought catastrophe, target California. Learn more about that. Now, when we have an administration that denies there's anything wrong with the climate, yet fully supports climate engineering, what else are they doing to stack the deck? Here's a headline. And again, all administrations were crooked, all of them. So if you think criticism of Trump is praise of Hillary Clinton, you're thinking dichotomously in a very programmed way. Please don't do that. All administrations deserve immense criticism. They're all criminals. I'm dealing with the current administration because that's where we are today. Here's the headline. Trump names climate denier Kathleen Hartnett White to head White House. That's Kathleen Hartnett White. That's her name, to head the White House. Environmental Council. In this report, not only a fracking promoter, Hartnell White, has also called carbon dioxide in the atmosphere a major benefit to society. Now, keep in mind what she says there. For all those who believe that nonsense, please listen on till I get to further headlines to make clear how false that is. Hartnett said this, no matter how many times the President Obama and EPA meet rant about dirty carbon pollution, there is no pollution about carbon itself. This is from his new appointee. As the dictionary will tell you, carbon is the chemical basis of all life. What a simplistic, moronic term that is. Again, water is essential too, but what if you're 10 feet under, Miss Hartnett White? Will that help you? Continuing, she says this, our flesh, blood, and bones are built of carbon. Carbon dioxide, CO2, is the gas of life on this planet, an essential nutrient for plant growth on which human life depends. How craftily our government has masked these fundamental realities and environmental benefits of fossil fuels. The environmental benefits of fossil fuel. Orwellian world. It's here. Now. What a total statement of absurdity that is. And this is Trump's new Environmental Council appointee. Likewise, Hartnett White gave a talk for the Texas Public Policy Foundation in November on a panel titled, Not a Pollutant, CO2 is the Gas of Life. We're living in an insane asylum, an absolute insane asylum. Just because CO2 is good, when you double it, it's not good. It's not good. It's harming everything. Nothing can adapt. And let's get on to exactly what it harms in a moment. Let me go through a couple more headlines first. Keep those recent statements in mind. Here's a previous headline that should be remembered and considered as I go through the following headlines after this. Trump's EPA halts request for methane information from oil and gas producers. In a strong signal of its retreat from climate change action, although they're pushing climate engineering, keep that in mind, the Trump administration on Thursday halted an effort to gather data from the oil and gas industry that's needed to rein in leaks of methane, a potent greenhouse gas. And there are hundreds of thousands of such wells leaking, an unimaginable amount. And here's the effort to hide it all. And Trump, again, puppet for the power structure. That's it, for the core of the military-industrial complex, carrying out their bidding. In a related headline, here's another headline. Bear with me. I want to get to the true CO2 effect. Bear with me. 2 years after the nation's worst ever gas blowout in the Alonzo Canyon storage facility, this relates to the methane hiding attempt by the Trump administration. Remember the big methane gas blowout in the Alonzo Canyon storage facility? The lives of many families in Porter Ranch in the San Fernando Valley will never be the same again. Thousands are still sick. They're all tired of being strung along by regulations and California's Governor Jerry Brown, who this summer okayed a partial reopening of the gas field. On October 23rd, local residents and the supporters will gather at the facility gates and demand that Governor Brown close it for good before leaving office next year. For more than 4 months, the blowout released 100,000 metric tons of methane, a very underestimated figure, by the way, and displaced thousands of families in Los Angeles. 2 years later, the facility still leaks. Residents are still getting sick, and the cause of the blowout is still undisclosed. Welcome to the criminal cabal that's masquerading as our government. Hide everything. And the population just goes on about their life, pretending it'll all magically go away. Now, let's get to the CO2 factor. Here's the headline from last week. There's so much CO2 in the atmosphere. It's not even considering methane, by the way, which is a bigger factor. There's so much CO2 in the atmosphere that planting trees can no longer save us. From that report, humans emit roughly 30 to 40 billion tons of the greenhouse gas CO2 into the atmosphere each year. 30 to 40 billion tons. How can people think that that would have no effect on the delicate energy balance of the planet? How can you load one side of the scale so heavily and not expect the scale to tip? That's irrational. Report continues. If we keep it up, Earth will continually heat up and ultimately devastate our way of life. I want to ask anyone, everyone, if there's no problem with greenhouse gases, why are nighttime low temperatures escalating twice as fast as daytime highs? It's a very simple question and a simple answer. Because the heat cannot escape back into the atmosphere. Why? Because the greenhouse gas blanket is thicker. It's a problem. It's an absolute problem. Climate engineering helping to worsen that equation. I will stay focused on climate engineering. But we need to think rationally if we are to unite the tribes and bring the climate science circles onto our cause of stopping climate engineering. We have to stand on credible ground. Report continues. So what can we do about it? Most scientists agree that we need a way to capture some of that CO2 out of the atmosphere. One idea is to plant lots of trees. Trees use CO2 in order to grow. They also release oxygen, so it's a win-win. But recent reports indicate that we simply can't grow enough trees to capture the necessary amount of CO2 that would help us meet the goals set by the Paris Agreement, which is another fraud. Again, just a front to help cover up climate engineering expansion. Report continues. In truth, we would have to cover the entire contiguous U.S. with trees just to capture 10% of the CO2 we emit annually. There's just not enough room on this planet to have the farmland it takes to feed the whole world, plus the space to plant the necessary number of trees. In other words, many of us would starve if we tried using trees to solve our emissions problem. Think about this whole equation. We are really in a dark corner. We are plummeting toward a planet that won't support Earth any longer. We're far past the point of no return. Even if we wanted to plant enough trees to try to take up 10% of the billions of tons we belch into the atmosphere every year, still can't do it. Still can't do it. So let's continue with this equation. Global tree cover loss reaches a record high in 2016. We don't hear this on our media, do we? The total area of tree cover loss last year was roughly the size of New Zealand. Try to get your arms around that. We lost an area of tree cover the size of New Zealand last year alone. From this report, in 2016, the world's forests lost more than 73.4 million acres of tree cover, an area roughly the size of New Zealand, and a 51% increase from the year before. The tree cover loss recorded in 2016 is the highest amount since Global Forest Watch began keeping records. Unimaginable rapid descent toward a planet that will not support life. That's where we're headed. Warming drives unexpected pulses of CO2 from forest soil. This is important to understand all this. Again, for those who simply parrot the type of simplistic, moronic narrative, like the White House official that Trump just appointed parrot, that CO2 is a wonderful thing, the more the better, or methane, or nitrous oxide, please look at some facts and get past bias. Another headline, warming drive unexpected pulses of CO2 from forest soil. In a forest study with climate change implications, scientists found evidence microbes are evolving in ways that could fuel a runaway warming scenario. It's already happening. The scientists said they nearly ended their observations when CO2 losses tapered off after 10 years. But then a second pulse of emissions started. The second surge suggested that the microbes in the soil were evolving to be able to break down more resistant mineral and wood-based sources of carbon. The scientists said this: there have been signs of a similar response in other regions, raising concerns about long-term self-reinforcing carbon feedback loops from mid-latitude forests that could pump even more CO2 in the atmosphere and intensify global warming even more, the scientists wrote. Now, let's get to what the CO2 does to the life support systems of the planet. Here's another headline. Please listen to this. More acidic oceans will, quote, affect all sea life. Of course it will affect sea life. How can you change the pH balance of the oceans and not have a very radical negative effect? From this report, all sea life will be affected because carbon dioxide emissions from modern society are making the oceans more acidic. A major new report states, ocean acidification is happening because as CO2 from fossil fuels dissolves in seawater, it produces carbonic acid, and this lowers the pH of the oceans. Since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the average pH of global ocean surface waters have fallen from 8.2 to 8.1. Doesn't sound like much, does it? Unless you understand the pH scale. This represents an increase in acidity of about 26%. What if our air has 26% less oxygen or some other imbalance in that scale? Radical effect. How can the ocean not be affected? And that figure is very conservative, by the way. Let's get to another headline. 8-year study confirms all sea life will be affected by acidic oceans. This is a different headline, same theme. The worst global mass extinction event thus far was the Permian mass extinction event that took place 252 million years ago. That event wiped out more than 95% of all life on Earth. It was triggered by a dramatic increase of CO2 in the atmosphere, which was absorbed by the oceans, which subsequently acidified and acted as the primary kill mechanism for the event. Acidified oceans, mass global extinction. Again, for those who parrot the ridiculously false narrative that CO2 is wonderful, the more the better, you're either completely disconnected from reality or you don't care about reality, and thus lying about the necessity of excess CO2. Of course, an excess of this greenhouse gas is a problem. Of course, how could it be otherwise? Again, when you alter the energy balance of the planet that's evolved over countless eons, you have a very negative result. Let's get to what's happening in the oceans about the mass die-off that I've spoken about for how many years, now being acknowledged by NOAA. And for those who think the ocean die-off is just Fukushima, that's wrong. Or those who think it's just the leaking oil wells, that's wrong. There are many factors, some of them bigger. What has geoengineering done to destroy the oceans and ocean life? Destroyed the ozone layer, disrupted the hydrological cycle. The destroyed ozone layer has released massive UV that's killing plankton. We have many, many factors. The increased UV is also superheating the oceans, helping to fuel a Canfield ocean effect of lifeless, oxygenless, stratified oceans. Many factors affecting the oceans. The Navy using, in the case of the Pacific West Coast, which is where the story I'm about to read takes place, U.S. Navy using depleted uranium, ammunition for practice, radioactive ammunition for practice in our waters. Lots of factors affecting the fish. Here's a headline from the Seattle Times. Scientists survey Pacific Northwest salmon each year. For the first time, nets are coming up empty. Scientists have been hauling survey nets through the ocean off the coast of Washington and Oregon for 20 years. But this is the very first time some nets have come up empty. In a recent report on their trawl survey, the scientists logged some of the lowest numbers of yearling Snake River spring Chinook salmon recorded since the survey began in 98. Coho numbers were just as depressed. Here's a statement from David Huff, NOAA Fisheries, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Quote, "We are really worrying if there was something wrong with our equipment. We have never hauled that net through the water looking for salmon or forage fish and not gotten a single salmon. Never before. Three times we pulled the net up and there was nothing in it. We looked at each other like, quote, this is really different than anything we've ever seen. It was alarming." Another statement, Brian Burke, also NOAA's fisheries scientist. "Every year is different, but this year popped out as being really different. Not just a bunch of normal metrics that point to a bad ocean year, but the presence of these things we have never seen before. Really big changes in the ecosystem. Something really big has shifted here." And doesn't that sound like he has no clue what's going on? How many programs have I stated that that's what the, quote, experts are paid to do? To have no clue. To find no answers. Not to tell the truth to the public. Can't hide this much longer. The oceans have no fish. Can't hide that much longer. Shocking photos show Caribbean Sea being choked to death by human waste. Again, another causal factor. Polluting our oceans, poisoning our planet. How can people think that human activity has no effect? That's irrational. Please search this photo because you have to see the photo to believe it. Shocking photo shows Caribbean Sea being choked to death by human waste. The ocean where the photo was taken, as far as you could see, was covered with human trash. Covered in the Caribbean. Moving on. About trashing our oceans. Here's a headline taken directly from the U.S. Department of Interior website. Secretary Zinke announces largest oil and gas lease sale in U.S. history. This is the, quote, American dream. That power structure puppets that are Donald Trump and his administration and others that preceded him are going to deliver. This is their goal, to keep the fossil fuel fiesta of total insanity and biosphere decimation with it, going until there's absolutely nothing left to salvage. That's the American dream they have in mind. From this report, New Orleans, U.S. Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke today announced that the department is proposing the largest oil and gas lease sale ever held in the United States. 77 million acres in federal waters of the Gulf of Mexico, offshore Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. The proposed region-wide lease sale offering an area the size of New Mexico is scheduled for March 2018, includes all available unleased areas of the Gulf's outer continental shelf. Secretary Zinke said this, in today's low-price energy environment, providing the offshore industry access to the maximum amount of opportunities. Yeah, that's what we want to do. Who cares if we kill the planet? Let's provide the maximum amount of opportunities possible for the fossil fuel industry. That's part of our strategy, to spur local and regional economic dynamism and job creation, and a pillar of President Trump's plan to, quote, make the United States energy dominant. It's full spectrum dominance, the goal of our military, even if everything dies in the process. And the economic terms proposed for the sale include a range of incentives to encourage diligent development. We're going to pay the oil companies to destroy what's left of our oceans. That makes sense. What does that mean exactly? Again, it means this. The oil companies are going to get incentives from our government to ensure that they pursue every last drop of oil, no matter what the risk to the planet. It means the single source, greatest user of oil on the planet, the U.S. military, will do whatever it takes to be sure the wheels of the military-industrial complex juggernaut of insanity keep turning, even if doing so kills us all. Loot, plunder, rape, and pillage the environment till the brutal, bitter end. That's what making America great again means in this case. Consider that. Now let's very carefully consider the following headline, given everything that I've already covered. Here's a new headline from Bloomberg. Trump's China trip to broker multi-billion dollar U.S. energy deals. Representatives from about 40 companies are expected to accompany President Donald Trump on the first presidential trade mission to China, November 8th through 10th, and sign deals for billions of dollars in U.S. investments. One of the biggest deals the Trump administration is currently negotiating is a multi-billion dollar energy investment from Chinese oil and gas giant China Petroleum and Chemical Corporation that would bring thousands of new jobs to hurricane-ravaged areas of Texas and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Interesting that we're dealing with those locations that were just slaughtered with what we absolutely can prove to be manipulated storm systems, manipulated cyclones, and now, magically, suddenly, we have big deals being made for the fascist government of the United States, the criminal government of China as well. They're all criminals, all colluding together. And how convenient for them that these two areas were just decimated with cyclones that opened up the door for some of what the deals Trump is now making. Again, Mr. Trump, just a puppet in the power structure play. But who are the companies involved? Let's read on from the report. Among the companies tentatively approved to go on the trade mission to China are General Electric, Honeywell, International Inc., Westinghouse, Alaska Gasline Development, Boeing, Qualcomm, and the companies also include Applied Materials, Caterpillar, Blackstone Group, Global Organization, there's many more. The cabal of criminal government corporations, all part of this deal-making on the cyclone-ravaged areas of Texas and the Virgin Islands. Details, continuing from the report, details of the project in the hurricane zones in Texas and the Virgin Islands, again, how convenient, are yet to be finalized, but the Chinese company known as Sinopec is expected to partner with ArcLight Capital, a Boston-based infrastructure investment firm, and Freepoint Commodities LLC, a Connecticut commodity trading firm. The deal is expected to be worth more than $7 billion of investments in the U.S. Final statement from this report. All of these developmental deals may provide a political boost to the U.S. president, who focused much of his time on the campaign trail, arguing that he was uniquely qualified to attract jobs and investment back to the U.S. Conveniently, after the mass devastation from manipulated cyclones. How convenient. Let's remember this. All the major powers, all of them, are colluding and completely cooperating on the global climate engineering assault. We have Senate documents to prove this. Look it up. Look geoengineeringwatch.org. Look up geoengineeringwatch.org. Massive Senate document. Read it for yourself. Senate document over 750 pages long, specifically stating that there would be cooperation between otherwise opposing powers, China, Russia, U.S., so on, because of the cross-border ramifications of climate engineering. They're all colluding and cooperating behind the scenes. None of this is an accident. None of it. It's time to wake up. Let's consider a headline that exposes another aspect of the tyrannical behavior of the military-industrial complex. WikiLeaks documents indicate the U.S. may have knowingly caused the migrant crisis in Europe. That's no surprise either, is it? The most stunning revelation that we have found so far in this batch was buried in the strategic forecasting for 2006 to 2010. Perhaps more than any other finding, this shows the true prerogative of intelligence, but also contextualizes one of the biggest geopolitical issues of our current time, the refugee and migrant crisis in Europe. Remarkably, when asking themselves, quote, what does the future hold, the NSA determines that the biggest issues that they would face is to U.S. economic and foreign policy. They go on to list their top foreseeable threats, and the first and foremost is not terrorism, not geopolitical instability, but, quote, the expanding European Union. Rising states like China, this is a direct quote from the report, unstable governments, and competition for strategic access to resources. What have I talked about in program after program? That's what the U.S. military is about, accessing resources. Play second, third, and fourth fiddle to the economic threat of the EU surpassing the USA permanently as the primary global economic superpower. Finishing from this report, lending significant credence and contextualization to the theories posed in recent years that the destruction of Libya in 2012 and the resulting refugee and migrant tsunami pouring into Europe may have, in fact, been a known and desired consequence manufactured specifically to undermine the economic strength and social cohesion of the European Union, thereby neutralizing the U.S.'s biggest economic competitor. So for those still buying into the power structure program lie that we're just rampaging all over the globe with our military occupying countries everywhere, toppling them, decimating them, if you're still buying the lie that that's about spreading freedom and democracy, wake up. There are many agendas being carried out, and the refugee crisis was no accident. As the walls close in, the power structure will become ever more desperate. They're pushing toward World War III now. On that point, here's a headline. U.S. military presence overseas mushrooming here, there, and everywhere. Around 200,000 troops are stationed in 177 countries throughout the world. The forces use several hundred bases, more than 1,000, if the figure includes overseas warehouses and installations. The U.S. may need more soon. That's called empire, with its presence and involvement in armed conflicts on the rise all over the globe. Now, another headline. Let's keep plugging these together. And by the way, let's go over this. How many countries does the U.S. military occupy in the continent of Africa alone? 53 of 54. 53 of 54 in Africa we occupy. Another headline. Trump signs executive order to recall 1,000 combat pilots to Air Force. Why would you need that, Mr. Trump? Preparing for World War III? And again, Trump, a puppet in the play. That's all. And the surest sign yet, the United States is preparing for war. President Trump has signed an executive order allowing Air Force to recall from retirement 1,000 combat pilots. Doesn't that send up a red flag to everybody? This is all a giant theater of distraction on mainstream media while the power structure prepares for World War III because they have no other options left because the biosphere is imploding around us and they know it. The people who don't know it are the American masses, other first world nation masses, they don't know it. A lot of the third world countries know it because they're living it. They're living it day in, day out. The U.S. population needs to wake up fast or we have no chance. None. Another headline. U.S. moving toward armed drones and lethal force in Niger. Plugs into the earlier headlines I just read. Empire is trying to increase its grip everywhere, but that's how empires always fail. It's not about freedom and democracy. It's about control of resources. Moving on, the U.S. lost track of $1 billion worth of weapons in Iraq, again. That's part of the headline, again. It's not an accident. They're fueling, funding, propagating ISIS to create the premise on which the perpetual war for perpetual peace can be based. The expansion of the military-industrial juggernaut of insanity that's consuming the entire world while the American population sleeps. And the vaccinations, the fluoridated water, all of which might be helping them to stay asleep. We need to snap out of our stupor, get on the playing field, and help to sound the alarm, or soon nothing else will matter. Let's continue with these headlines. For the first time in 26 years, U.S. to put nuclear bombers on 24-hour alert. How many red flags do we need? How many do we need before the population is willing to face reality. According to Defense One, the U.S. Air Force is preparing to put nuclear-armed bombers back on 24-hour ready alert, a status not seen since the Cold War ended. Military-industrial complex now completely unleashed. Now, what's putting so much pressure on them? Consider this headline. In addition to resource depletion, currency wars. China's launch of petroyuan in 2 months sounds the death knell for the U.S. dollar's dominance. What has allowed the U.S. empire to wreak havoc around the globe for so long? Because the dollar was a global reserve currency. They could print as many as they want. No more. No more. Walls are closing in on the power structure from every direction. We need to understand that. All of these are converging forces, factors that are making the power structure more desperate than they have ever been. They will try to increase their vaccinations on us. They will try to increasingly fluoridate our water, toxify our air, waters, and soils on top. They are absolutely desperate, and the only way they can carry out these agendas of not just genocide or ecocide, but omnicide, the only way they can do that is with legions of order followers, as I stated in the beginning of this program. If you're an order follower, look in the mirror and ask yourself why you're here. What's your purpose? What's your point? Look your children in the eyes. You owe them your life. All of us owe our lives to the children of the world. Indeed, we owe our lives to the entire web of life, of which we are a part. Our war against nature is a war against ourselves. Time is not on our side. Continuing, the currency wars are escalating, as I've stated. Media wars also. The propaganda battle also escalating. Twitter has banned all of RT advertising on their channels. This will continue as the pressure on the power structure closes in. In the alternative media community, the make-it-up-as-you-go sensationalized narratives are doing considerable harm to alternative media sources as a whole. Some of the make-it-up-as-you-go sources actually use clips from science fiction films in the attempt to pretend their narratives are somehow real. Those who truly care about exposing the truth will investigate the validity of information before they share it, not after, when the damage to credibility is already done. Sharing sensationalized but false information is not going to help in the battle to unite with the science communities, with agencies, with officials, etc., all of whom we need if we are to have any chance of prevailing in the battle to alter our current course of certain planetary omnicide, near-term omnicide. The verifiable truth is dire enough. Propagating factually false narratives will only harm the effort to expose the truth. Regarding the accelerating global chaos and criminality, so many times I've had so many people tell me it's not in any way the fault of the people. It's all the fault of the power structure. But is this the truth? How many are not lifting a finger to even find out what's going on in the world, let alone to try and do something for the greater good with their time, their efforts, and their energy? Some claim that they're afraid of repercussions if they help to sound the alarm. Afraid of whom? Of the rejection from your family and peers? Afraid of some sort of power structure repercussions? How can those in power possibly punish all of us for speaking out if we all stand up together? And consider this, deeply consider this. Where is there any place to hide on a planet that's dying by the day? Were the passengers on the Titanic who hid in their cabins while the Titanic was going down, were they safe? I think not. There's no security in life. We must all make every effort to do the right thing while we can, lest we take our last breath, knowing we could have made a difference but didn't even bother to try. That's what we should fear, all of us. Industrialized, militarized civilization is hanging by a thread. Total collapse of the reality we've all known is not a question of if, but when. And that moment draws near. The complete collapse of what was never sustainable in the first place will likely be fast and furious, like a tornado in the night. This being said and understood, if we can yet salvage any part of the Earth's life support systems, if we can yet salvage any part of the web of life, isn't that worth every bit of our effort, every bit of our energy, every bit of strength we can summon in the battle for the greater good? How do we effectively and efficiently wake those around us to what's unfolding? By sharing credible data, by sharing factually verifiable data. We must share with groups, agencies, and individuals. Share with everyone, anyone that would care if they only knew. Credibility is the key. That's how we can all make a difference. There are detailed activist suggestions on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Investigate what you can do to help alter the course of the global omnicide that's occurring now on our planet. All of our voices matter. Make your voice heard. Every day counts. This is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.